An example from last time shows that a sequence of functions can converge in measure while not converging pointwise at any point. However, the following result of F. Ries tends to ameliorate this problem. Proposition: let capital Roman X, capital script X, mu be a measure space. Suppose that Fj is a sequence of measurable functions that is Cauchy in measure. Then there is a subsequence which converges almost everywhere and in measure to a measurable limit function f. So, proof. Choose a subsequence fjk so that ek, which is a set of all x of the reals where absolute value f sub jk plus 1x minus f sub jk, x bigger than or equal to 2 to the minus k, satisfies the measure of e to the k is less than 2 to the minus k. Set fk to be the union from j equal k to infinity of ej, so f sub k is is measurable, and the measure of fk is less than 2 to the minus k minus 1. If L is bigger than or equal to k, M, bigger than or equal to N, and if X is not an Fn, then absolute value Fjl minus Fjm of X is less than or equal to absolute value Fjl minus 1 of X plus dot 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 plus absolute value Fjm plus 1 of X minus Fjm of X, which is less than or equal to 1 over 2 to the L minus 1 plus dot 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 plus 1 over 2 to the M, which is less than 1 over 2 to the M minus 1. Let capital F be the intersection from N equals 1 to infinity of capital Fn so that capital F is also measurable and the measure of capital F is 0. This is by the estimate we have had on the measure of Fn above. From the above reasoning, it follows that the sequence fjm converges on x take away capital F if we define little fx to be the limit as m goes to infinity of fjm of x. For x not in capital F and 0 if x is in capital F, then fjm converges almost everywhere to the measurable function little f. Passing to the limit in star as l tends to infinity, we conclude that if little m is bigger than or equal to little n and x is not capital Fn, then absolute value fx minus fjm is less than or equal to 1 over 2 to the m minus 1, which is less than or equal to 1 over 2 to the n minus 1. And this proves that the sequence fjm converges uniformly to f on the complement of each set fn. To see that fjm converges in measure to f, let alpha and epsilon be positive real numbers and choose little n so large that the measure of fn is less than 2 to the minus n minus 1, which is less than the minimum of alpha and epsilon. If little m is bigger than or equal to little n, then the above estimate shows that the set of all x in R, where absolute fx minus fjmx is bigger than or equal to alpha, is a subset of the set of all x in R, where absolute fx minus fjmx is bigger than 2 to the minus n minus 1, which is a subset of Fn, so that the measure of the set of all x and r where absolute fx minus fjmx is bigger than or equal to alpha is less than or equal to the measure of Fn, which is less than epsilon for all little m bigger than or equal to n. We conclude that fjm converges in measure to f, and that's the result. Corollary, let fj be a sequence of measurable functions which is Cauchy in measure, then there is a measurable function f to which the sequence converges in measure. This limit function is uniquely determined almost everywhere. Proof. We know that there is a subsequence fjk that converges in measure to f. That's what we proved a moment ago. To see that the entire sequence converges in measure to f, notice that absolute fx minus fjx is less than or equal to absolute fx minus fjkx plus absolute fjkx minus fjx, just triangle inequality. So the set of all x and r where f absolute fx minus fjx is bigger than or equal to alpha is a subset of the set of all x and r where absolute fx minus fjkx is bigger than or equal to alpha 2, union the set of all x and r where fjkx minus fjx is bigger than or equal to alpha over 2. So that's just a contrapositive statement to go with the preceding line. The convergence in measure of fj follows from this relation. Now, suppose that the sequence fj converges in measure to both f and to g. So this is the uniqueness part. Since absolute fx minus gx is less than or equal to absolute fx minus fjx plus absolute fjx minus gx, it follows that the set of all x and r where fx minus gx in absolute value is bigger than or equal to alpha is a subset of all the set of all x and r where absolute fx minus fjx is bigger than or equal to alpha over 2, union the set of all x and r where absolute fjx minus gx is bigger than or equal to alpha over 2. Again, this is a contrapositive statement to go with that above. Passing to the limit, we find that the measure of the set of all x and r where absolute fx minus gx is bigger than or equal to alpha equals 0 for all alpha bigger than 0. Taking alpha equals 1 over n for n a natural number, we conclude that f equals g almost everywhere. And that's the uniqueness part. Certainly, convergence in LP implies convergence in measure. The converse is not true, as the next example shows. Let mu be Lebesgue measure on the sigma algebra of the Borel sets. Let fjx be j times the characteristic function of j, j plus 1 over j. Then fj converges in measure to the identically zero function, but the fj do not converge in LP. However, with an additional hypothesis, we can obtain a positive result. That's the way mathematics often works. We get a false result, and then we adjust the hypothesis, and then we get a true result. So proposition, let fj be a sequence of functions in LP which converges in measure to a function f, let g in LP satisfy absolute fjx less than or equal to g almost everywhere. Then f is in LP, and the sequence fj converges to f in LP. So that's the kind of result we like. Proof. If the sequence fj does not converge in LP to f, then there exists a subsequence fjk and an epsilon bigger than 0, so that absolute value fjk minus f in LP norm is bigger than epsilon for k and n. So that's the negation of convergence. Since fjk is a subsequence of fj, we see that it converges in measure to f. By an earlier proposition, there is a subsequence fjkl which converges almost everywhere and in measure to a function h. From the uniqueness part of the corollary, it follows that h equals f almost everywhere. Since fjkl converges almost everywhere to f and is dominated by g, our proposition implies that fjkl minus f in LP norm tends to zero, but that contradicts the inequality star star that we had above. So our concluding result for this lesson is quite striking. It's due to Vitali, and it ties together many of the ideas that we have introduced so far. So here's Vitali's theorem. Let capital Roman X, capital script X mu be a measure space. Let Fj be a sequence in LP, 1 less than or equal to p less than infinity. Then the following three conditions taken together are necessary and sufficient for the LP convergence of fj to f. Condition 1, fj converges to f in measure. Condition 2, for each epsilon bigger than 0, there's a set e sub epsilon that is measurable with the measure of e sub epsilon finite, such that if f is measurable and f intersect e sub epsilon is empty, then the integral over f of absolute fj to the p d mu is less than epsilon to the p for all j in the natural numbers. For each epsilon, and condition 3, for each epsilon bigger than 0, there is a delta bigger than 0, so that if e is measurable and the measure of e is less than delta, then the integral over e of f sub j to the p d mu is less than epsilon to the p for all j in the natural numbers. Proof. We know that LP convergence implies convergence in measure. The fact that LP convergence of the fj implies condition 2 and condition 3 is straightforward, and we'll leave the details for you. We shall next prove that the three given conditions taken together imply that fj converges in the LP topology to f. Let epsilon be bigger than 0. Let e sub epsilon be as statement 2, and let capital F be x take away e sub epsilon. If the Minkowski inequality is applied to fj minus fk, which equals fj minus fk times the characteristic function of e epsilon plus fj characteristic function f minus fk characteristic function f, then we have that the norm in LP of fj minus fk is less than or equal to the integral over e epsilon of absolute value fj minus fk to the p, all to the 1 over p, plus 2 epsilon. So that's just Minkowski. That's for all jk in the natural numbers. Now let alpha be epsilon times the measure of e epsilon to the minus 1 over p. Let capital HJK be the set of all x and e epsilon so that absolute value fjx minus fkx is bigger or equal to alpha. Because of condition one, there is a number capital K such that if j, little k are bigger than or equal to capital K, then the measure of hjk is less than delta. Another application of Minkowski, together with condition three, gives that the integral over E epsilon of absolute fj minus fk to the p, all to the 1 over p, is less than or equal to the integral over E epsilon take away hjk of absolute fj minus fk to the p d mu all to the 1 over p plus the integral over hjk absolute fj to the p all to the 1 over p plus the integral over hjk absolute fk to the p d mu to the 1 over p. And this is less than or equal to alpha times the measure of e epsilon to the 1 over p plus epsilon, and altogether this is not more than 3 epsilon for little j, little k bigger than or equal to capital K. Combining this last result with the first inequality in the proof, we find that the sequence Fj is Cauchy in Lp and hence converges in Lp, because we know that Lp is complete. Since we already know that Fj converges in measure to F, we may conclude from the uniqueness part of the corollary above that Fj converges to F in Lp. And that's the end of our argument and the end of our discussion today. Thank you for listening.